from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on Forum, over the summer, one of our Forum interns found a postcard lying on the sidewalk. Dear Justin, it read, Charlie was happy to finally hear from you. I know he misses his own father figure. Please come home. P.S. I am still in love with you. It was just the kind of note you might come across in Davy Rothbart's Found magazine, a collection and celebration of fascinating forgotten and discarded items. Rothbart, a longtime This American Life contributor, author, and filmmaker, will join us to discuss his favorite found treasures, from love letters to old family photos. What is the weirdest or most interesting item you have found? Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Well, we've got Davy Rothbart with us, American Life contributor, filmmaker, author, and by his own admission, former Chicago Bulls ticket scalper. And he's co-founder of the annual published Found magazine, which includes, as its name suggests, found items, specifically letters, flyers, photos, lists, and drawings. His writing has appeared in GQ, New York Magazine, Slam Magazine, Maxim, and The Sun. And he joins us for this Forum Hour in studio. And you're welcome to join us as well. We want to ask the question right away. Have you found anything recently or that you can recount that was or is weird or interesting or particularly unusual? And, Davy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael.
This can apply to other people, like our intern found this note that said, you know, P.S., I'm still in love with you. But it can mostly apply, well, to other people, but to oneself as well. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, people find notes, letters, journal entries, to-do lists, Post-it notes. They find them all over the country, send them in to me. We publish them in Found Magazine and on the website, foundmagazine.com. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are heartbreaking. This one came in recently from a friend of mine in Brooklyn, New York. You know, she found this blown down the street in front of her apartment, this note to Delane. It says, Dear Delane, you and I are just friends. That's the way I wish to remain. I like you, but only as a friend. I would be happy if this doesn't affect our bond as friends. Please understand, it's not because you're not handsome enough. It's just because you and I are friends and that's it. The reason you can't be my boyfriend is because I'm not as attracted to you as you are to me. To be honest, I just want us to be friends, that's all. It's your choice whether you want to be my friend or not. Signed, Julia. P.S., let's just be friends.
Never has one heard the word friend or friends more often in a number of sentences.
The woman that found it says she wonders if Delane ever got the subtle hint that Julia just wanted to be friends.
It was very subtle. It was nuanced. Actually, that's very funny. Sometimes I'm reminded in some of these found items of you want to get to the bottom of the story. Paul Auster, I think, wrote a whole novel based on a found note, and he wanted to the protagonist wanted to find out where would it lead.
Sure.
And, you know, that sort of thing. You find yourself stirred, don't you?
Absolutely. That's the magic of these found notes. You know, each one gives you a glimpse into someone else's life, and it sparks your imagination. You know, it's up to you to fill in the blanks. Sometimes there's a fragment of the story, but it's hard to piece it all together. This, you know, San Francisco and the Bay Area is our found capital. We get more finds sent into Found Magazine from the Bay Area than anywhere else in the country. And this was one a woman gave me a few years ago. She got to work in the morning, and she found in the office fax machine these three mysterious faxes that had come through in the middle of the night. And, you know, they're just handwritten faxes. They got the time code up top so you can see when they came in. And the first one's from 2:36 a.m. It says, I just want Gigi back. Tell me where she is and I'll come get her. Why are you doing this? Be a man. Whoa. Next one a few minutes later, it said, this is cruel and emotional abuse. And why do you drive the women you're with crazy? They either join cults or want to kill themselves. Be a man for once in your life. The world doesn't revolve around you. Just let me have Gigi now. I can't believe you're even doing this. I will come get her. If not, I'm calling the police. And then finally, the last fax at 2:56 a.m., it just says, look, Michael, sorry, wrong number. And there's this kind of frowning face at the bottom. My bad.
And where's Gigi?
Who is Gigi? What is Gigi?
Gigi, a poodle
kid,
came
a kid,
to my
a dog,
mind.
Yeah. Maybe a poodle. So, you know, there's...
That's where your imagination gets
exactly. That's where, you know, two people will look at the same found note and come away with totally different ideas about what's actually happening inside of there.
Well, I want to hear some more of these, of course, because they're really fascinating. But you had quite an imagination as a kid. In fact, the first essay in your collection of essays, and you're a rather prolific writer, has to do with your mother was deaf, and You had a special way of communicating to her on the telephone and making up stories that would essentially redound to your own interests. I mean, this is the same guy who would later scalp tickets. I mean, have you no shame? Well, it turns out you do have shame.
Well, yeah. So,
no, and I was thinking about this in conjunction with the last hour because we were talking about spanking and, you know, all that sort of thing.
Well, I may have deserved some spankings thanks to this, to what me and my brothers really pulled off on my mom. The book's called My Heart is an Idiot.
Thank you. I was going to mention it.
And it's essays about my own misadventures in love and relationships. And also about interesting people I've met over the last 10 years traveling around doing Found Magazine.
And forgive me, you had a documentary by the same name.
Yeah, that's right. And tonight at the JCCSF, I'm going to share with people a story that I've never really read out loud before in public, maybe once or twice before. It's from My Heart is an Idiot. It takes place here in San Francisco. But the first story, the one you're talking about, the first essay in the book is about my mom. And she's deaf. And, you know, she became deaf when she was 29. Actually, I've done some This American Life pieces about her. We went to Brazil to visit this guy named John of God, this miracle healer, to see if we could get her hearing back. There's people there from all over the world, all seeking healing. It was a really intense trip. But my mom's deaf.
Bottom line is it didn't work.
It didn't work to healing her deafness. She says that it's healed other things that she was seeking heal, other physical ailments she had. It's a really interesting place to go visit, and I'm a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to some of those things. But
gives you good material, though.
It was fascinating to be down there, and you know, you see people dealing with, you know, people with cancer, with AIDS, people in wheelchairs, and they're seeking healing, and they find healing there. They find something special. I don't think there's miracles being performed, but it was a fascinating visit.
You know the old joke about the people who go to like Lourdes or these type of places when they're involved in a lawsuit. You know, they go there in a wheelchair, they win a big lawsuit, and then suddenly they're healed.
That's how they. Well, those may have been the people they healed down there in Brazil, but I think any kids will find ways to take advantage of their parents, and then just bend the rules as much as they can. And so, since my mom was deaf, you know, when I would get in trouble at school, for example, and the principal tried to call home and talk to my mom, now she has a special phone where it operator assisted. It says on a screen what the person's saying. That when I was growing up, my brothers and I had to translate for her. We would tell her what the person on the other end of the line was saying.
Because you were fluent in sign language.
That's right. Yeah. And so when the principal of the school calls and talks to me and tells me to tell my mom how much trouble I'm in, naturally I'm going to...
You're inventing. Pink butterflies.
Cross the wires on the translation a little bit.
The invention was...
We got beyond.
You were talking about a pink butterfly to your mother.
I think I got in trouble for, I don't know, cursing or something, and I told my mom that the principal was calling because I had saved a pink butterfly from kids that were trying to torture it.
Even then, you had a rich imagination, baby.
What's funny? Here's a connection I like to draw between, and I want to share some more of these great found notes.
I want you to.
But these found notes give you just a glimpse into someone else's life. But what's so awesome about traveling around the country is meeting people, meeting strangers, you know, brushing up against strangers and getting a peek into, you know, actual people's lives. So in the book, My Heart is an Idiot, that's what I was trying to do was, you know, share stories about just interesting people I've met on the road over the last 10 years. A guy, I was on my way to the Grand Canyon and I saw this hitchhiker. I was like an hour from the Grand Canyon. This older guy, 70 years old, and I picked him up and he told me his story. He was from Boston. His lifelong dream was to go to the Grand Canyon. And he told me that he worked at a factory outside Boston and that at work the guys were like, "You're always talking about the Grand Canyon. It's depressing. Just shut up about the Grand Canyon already. You're never going to go there." And so he said, "I quit," and walked out that day. Got a Greyhound bus ticket as far as like Amarillo, Texas, had been hitchhiking the rest of the way. So here's a guy whose lifelong dream is to visit the Grand Canyon. I'm lucky enough to pick him up when he's like an hour away, you know, be there to witness this moment when he gets to the edge of the canyon, you know, thrust his fists in the air. And it was
so
just...
So you took him right to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, I was going there myself. Yeah. So I took him there.
And we observed him.
We camped out together that weekend. He was an awesome guy named John Malloy. So that one of the essays in the book is about this guy and this experience we had. There's times when I was hitchhiking, I ran out of gas in Death Valley, and got picked up by this family of Marines with like 100 machine guns, and all kinds of interesting adventures you have when you start getting around the country and exploring all that's out there.
We're talking to Davey Rothbart. He's a co-founder of Found Magazine and also a frequent contributor to This American Life. I said he's part of the Ira Glass, Sarah Vowell cadre. I actually said mafia, but that, yeah. Author also of My Heart is an Idiot, and he's featured in a documentary by the same name. He'll be at Jewish Community Center in San Francisco tonight at 8 p.m. And let's talk about Found Magazine. I mean, the I think it all started, didn't it, with a note about Gaby, your car or something?
I lived in Chicago at the time, where your daughter.
This is Logan Square we're talking about.
Logan Square, yeah. I lived in Logan Square neighborhood, and I came onto my car late one night. This is like 10 years ago. And on the windshield of my car is this note addressed to Mario. And my name's Davey. So I was like, what's this all about? I opened and read it. It said, Mario, I hate you. You said you had to work. Why is your car here at her place? You're a liar. I hate you. I hate you. Signed, Amber. P.S. Page me later. And she's so angry and upset with him, but still hopeful and in love. And of course, you know, it wasn't even Mario's car, it was my car. So I wish she had left her pager number. I could have paged her and told her about the mistake.
You never went under the name Mario? That you?
Not that I recall. I had some other names. Huey, they called me in my Chicago ticket scalper name.
You know, I was trying to think of people I know named Davey. And the only names I could come up with were Davey Crockett and Davey from the Monkees.
Well, and the funny thing about Davey from the Monkees, I have two brothers, Mike and Peter. Mikey and Peter. So we just needed a Mickey, and we could have actually had a cover band. But I started showing that Mario and Amber page me later note to my friends, and what amazed me was how many of them had a great find to share with me in return. You know, whether it was, you know, they always have it stuck to their fridge. You know, some crazy shopping list they'd found or some bizarre love note, and I just felt like it was a shame only the people that trooped into their kitchen would get to see that stuff. So a magazine, you know, Found Magazine, that seemed like a natural idea, a way for everyone to share what they were finding with everybody else. So it's been awesome over the years to get.
Actually, allowed you to move to New York, I think, didn't it?
Well, yeah. I ended up moving from Chicago. I moved to New York with This American Life, and now I live in Los Angeles. But we continue to get 10 or 20 finds sent into us every day. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say there are three published collections of this too, but it's only published once a year, right?
Well, right. Found Magazine comes out once a year. There's three Found books, and those are available anywhere. And then the website, foundmagazine.com, every day we put a new favorite on the Found website. My friend James Melinda does that. His favorite that we received the day before. People send in stuff. You know, I actually just finished, I'm kind of celebrating, last night I finished a new issue of Found number 9. It won't be out till around Thanksgiving, but that's why tonight I want to celebrate with people at the JCC. Where is that? 3200 California Street, 8 o'clock. Michael, check this out.
Oh, so it's turning into a party now.
7 o'clock, we're having a cocktail hour before the event. And then and it's sponsored by Reboot and McSweeney's, two awesome San Francisco organizations. And then after the event, I think we'll probably continue to have some drinks. Maybe.
Well, you did that PR really well. I mean, you got all the details in there and inviting people to sounds like a bacchanalian feast.
I want people to celebrate Found stuff with me. I want people to bring their finds tonight to share with me. I'm going to share some of my all-time favorite finds. Some brand new ones that I've gotten over the last few weeks. This is the second to last stop on a 30 city tour, so I've collected some great new finds I'll share with people. And of course I'm going to read this essay from My Heart is an Idiot that I've really almost never read before.
Local,
it's about this guy I picked up. He was in LA selling CDs outside of a rap CDs outside of a bar, and I picked him up. His dream was to go to Canada and become a DJ. Why Canada? Who knows? He was from like inner city Las Vegas.
No apprehension about picking up hitchhikers?
You know, I don't, you know, you just got to use your instincts and be reasonable. You know, I've met some lifelong friends, including this guy, Hakim, through doing that. I drove him up to San Francisco, and it's about our friendship. And
what kind of car do you drive?
You know, I live in LA the last 3 years. I don't have a car. My van,
serious disability.
I have an old bus, bike. You can get around. I bum rides. In my van, I have a old Dodge Ram conversion van that I've traveled around the country doing these Found Magazine tours with the last 10 years. That's in my parents' yard in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm going to get it running again. I'm going to get it running again, Michael.
Do you do mechanical stuff?
I do a little bit. My brother's better with cars. My friend Seth.
Which brother?
Is better with cars. Peter. Peter's he's an incredible musician. Peter Rothbart. He plays a lot of great songs based on Found items, actually.
Let's hear some more Found items.
Yeah, okay. I actually brought some from San Francisco because I thought we get so many great finds from this area. Oakland, Berkeley, you know, Sacramento. This one's from San Francisco. It says, it's like a contract of sorts. It says, I, Becca McNeil, state herein that upon my death, Drew Copel has all legal rights to my skull. So I wonder what the, you know, what that was like when they're hammering out the details of that arrangement. And then here's another contract from Mississippi. This says at the top.
Oh, wait, I think we're going Bay Area here. We're going to Mississippi.
Oh, well, isn't Van Cleve, Mississippi? I think that's just outside.
Yeah, right the to Bay Area. A little bit from the East Bay. Yeah.
Well, this is another contract, so I thought it'd be a fun one to share.
No, go ahead.
It says Death Walkers at the top. This is like if you're like applying for a job, or you know a PhD program, you have to go in front of that interview committee, and they're taking notes the whole time. It freaks you out. This guy was applying for the Death Walkers, and at the bottom of his application are all these notes in a different handwriting from the selection committee. So it says, Death Walkers, I, Levi DeLuke, solemnly swear that I will be faithful to the Brotherhood and uphold the reputation of the Death Walkers. I also agree to take honor of standing in for another member. Also, if I'm to fail at a task or get caught, I'm not to bring the rest of the gang down with me. Full name, Levi Michael DeLuke, age 12. Favorite animal, chicken. Personal comments, I want revenge on Aaron Shook. I'm smart. I'll be serious about the Death Walkers, signed Levi DeLuke. All right, now here's the notes from the selection committee. Someone wrote, Levi's definitely a strategic planner, also very physical. We'll see how it goes. Not sure how seriously he takes the Death Walkers. Also need to decide between Levi and Aaron Shook. So,
you ever concerned about libel in mentioning names and stuff? Or
you know,
defamation or, for that matter, authentication of some of these things?
Those are two great questions, and I'll tell you this. We are very sensitive about that. You know, these are very raw, intimate, personal notes, and the last thing I would want to do is get someone in trouble. So if it's something that seems particularly compromising or embarrassing, you know, we'll change the names. Just change the names so that it still reads. You know, I don't like blacking stuff out. Seems redacted, censored, you know.
Seems like you're the government. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll just change the names, and that way we'll keep people out from getting embarrassed. And then the other thing is, you asked about authenticating these things. You know, the one rule that we have with Found Magazine is that it must really be found. And I think people respect that as our only rule.
You're on the honor system, though, aren't you?
It's the honor system. I'm sure people have said, oh, well, let's, you know, kids in a dorm room, let's make up a fine and send it in. But to take the time to write it, weather the paper, send it in, wait a year and a half. You know, the Found Magazine comes out only once a year. So to wait a year and a half to see if it, you know, that's just seems like not enough payoff. I wouldn't challenge people to fool me. I'm sure I could be fooled, and maybe I have been once or twice before. But the truth is, you know, reality is and truth is so much stranger than fiction. And once you start looking for these found notes, you'll find stuff that's so much more beautiful, heartbreaking, mysterious, bizarre, just incredible. And so I believe, you know, 99% at least of all the things we've published in Found Magazine is stuff that's real. And I get to know the finders as I travel around. I get to meet the people who have found the stuff, like this one from UC Davis. This was because college campuses are such a great place to find stuff. Mm. And, here's a favorite of mine. Let me share this one with you, Michael. This one's from Austin, Texas, actually. It says, I found outside of a dormitory there, Jenna, can I give you a sensual massage? Then I will talk about Jesus. Let me share this one from UC Davis, and then I want to see what you've got in front of you. This one is another, it's like a pop quiz. Some kid took a class at UC Davis. My friend Don Strong lives out there, and he found this one. It says, there's four answers to this quiz, and you can deduce what some of the questions might have been from the answers, but some of them I have no idea. So here's the four. The first one, it says, number one, I would name my twins Mickey and Minnie. Number two, can I say this word right here? It starts with H right there.
Yeah, that word's okay.
Okay. Number two, hell no. Hell no! I mean, if you're going to control the U.S. Armed Forces, you have to be born and raised right here in the U.S. of A. Number three, the book would be about the ghettos of the world. And the title would be The Ghettos of the World. Number four, set my arms on fire using rubbing alcohol or spitting flames using rubbing alcohol. What question elicited that response? I have no idea. People send in so much great stuff. It's just so much fun looking through the mail and checking it all out. What do you got in front of you?
Well, we're getting some listeners. Let me tell listeners how they can let us know about things that they have found. If you found something weird, bizarre, strange, intriguing, provocative, or for that matter, compelling, let us know what it was. You can call in. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786. That's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us. Our email address, forum@kqed.org, or post them right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or our Facebook page, or you can tweet us. And our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Let me go to some of these, in fact, from listeners. But before I do, this is something one of our interns found. It says, Justin, Charlie is fine. He was happy to finally hear from you. He is now an extended day at Montessori School. Dr. So-and-so says, intellectually, Charlie has advanced by 3 years, but emotionally, he is behind. He is finally off the nip. He has recently developed a strong attachment to cantaloupe and mermaids. Men. Oh, and his rash has cleared up. He has been listening to a lot of George Michael lately. I know he misses his own father figure. Please come home, Laura and Charlie. And P.S., I am still in love with you. And P.S.S., if you're not coming home, at least send money. Okay.
That was
a good find.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the most interesting finds have this combination of, you know, there's something that makes you laugh in there, but there's also something that's really, you know, touching and affecting.
And often the non sequiturs, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
of course. That's the name. Well, here, Susanna writes on our website, 2 found items. The first, a posting by my ex-husband on our 40th high school reunion website. We had not communicated since our divorce nearly 20 years earlier, and I had not attended the reunion. He wrote in his autobiographical notes for the reunion that his behavior toward me during our marriage was unforgivable. It was a sweet note to find. And the second was a carbon copy of a letter my mother wrote to my father in their 60s, begging him to end an affair he was having, referring to other affairs in the past and offering him the opportunity to divorce if he no longer loved her. My mother had destroyed all correspondence between them before she died, and this letter, folded double in a file of unrelated papers, was, I am certain, never meant to be found. It was a terrible blow to find it, as I had never known or suspected that my father had been unfaithful, and oh, how it would have helped me in my own marital difficulties if my mother had shared hers.
Wow.
Steve writes, I found a pretty horrible Dear John letter crumbled on the break room floor when I worked at a seafood processor in Alaska during the summer of 1995. The woman went into great detail of how she was sleeping around and how she spent the money he had sent home. I was showing it to everyone until the guy's friend found out and told me to hand the letter over if I knew it was good for me. Shelley in San Francisco writes, as a fellow Ann Arborite, I've known about Davy and Found magazine for a long time. It has changed the way I look at litter. Each folded up, rained on, driven over piece of paper on the ground could be a real gem. I found some true treasure, so thank you.
Awesome.
And Stephanie on our website says, funny you should ask. Just yesterday, I was at a local university library seeking a book. Once I got to the right shelf, while I was flipping through a text, I found a slip of paper left between the pages with these words in bright red ink, quote, I lost my virginity right at this spot, end of quote. That's it. No more details. I'm not even certain about the gender, given the handwriting, but given the location in the library, I believe the university student did indeed lose his or her virginity in that spot. Hope it was a positive experience for both participants. Well, there we go. Well, we'll hear from more of you if you
These
have found
great
items.
Stories.
You want. Yeah, they are great stories. And you may want to contribute your own here. As I said, you can do it by going to our Facebook page or tweeting us, our Twitter handle @KQEDForum, or our website, kqed.org/forum. And also, you can call us, 866-733-6786. We're going to a break, so when we return, we'll hear from more of you and more about Davy Rothbart, who, by the way, does some extraordinary things with kids that I want him to tell you about. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and we're with Davy Rothbart this hour, the co-founder of Found Magazine. He's also a contributor to This American Life and author of My Heart is an Idiot. We should mention actually some other works of his, collection of fiction called The Lone Surfer of Montana, Kansas. He's also done a number of documentary films, How We Survive and Easier with Practice and Overhaul Madeira, and he'll be at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco this evening at 8 p.m., we're hearing stories from you about things you may have found that, well, were in hidden places or just out on the streets or turned up in maybe a gust of wind or whatever. That's kind of the principle behind Found Magazine, and some fascinating things have indeed resulted in contributions from people. And as Davey said, the biggest number of them come from here in the Bay Area. So if you have one you'd like to contribute here, I'm not asking you for money, just something you found. Let us know by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or calling us at 866-733-6786, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And I want to go to all your calls and emails in just a moment, but Davey does some pretty amazing stuff with inner-city kids, and I wanted him to at least talk about that a bit. I'm most impressed with it personally. You go up to New Hampshire with these kids.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
I used to live in D.C., kind of a rough area in southeast D.C., and I met this boy named Emmanuel Durant, who was 9 years old at the time, and I had an idea. I've always been into filmmaking. I had this idea about a film to make with him. He was cool. He was into it. His mom said it was cool, so we started filming, and I soon realized that my idea was really stupid, but that I became interested in actually, you know, his actual life and his family's situation, and I kept filming with them for months, and I moved out of D.C., but for years I'd go back, you know, close with the family, and would always spend time with Emmanuel, watched him grow. He was the first in his family to graduate high school, was engaged to be married, started training as a firefighter. And then 4 years ago, he was killed. He was New Year's Eve in a robbery, trying to break up a robbery, and he was shot and killed. And so his mom and his sister and his brother and I were talking, you know, what can we do to honor Emmanuel's memory? And his mom reminded me that I'd always talked about taking Emmanuel hiking with some of his friends, and I never actually had done it. And she said, you know, maybe we could put a trip together. And I thought, that's a great idea. So we started this with his family. I started this trip called Washington to Washington. And it's an annual trip where we take a big group of inner city kids from D.C. and now also from Detroit and New Orleans on a hiking and camping trip. I love nature. I love hiking. I love camping. So it's great to take kids who have never been out of the city.
You take them up to Mount Washington.
Yeah, we take them different places every year. First year, Mount Washington in New Hampshire. That's why we call it Washington to Washington. Now we go to some places that this year we went to Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania. We've gone to Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. Every year a different place. And it's just so fun. Just, you know, campfires, s'mores, ghost stories, you know, hiking, swimming. I have fun with it so much. My friend Alex Gross, who lives here in the Bay Area, she started the organization with me. And it's just been – it's a real joy for me, and I think the kids get a lot out of it. So there's – actually, if you go to washingtontowashington.org, it's all spelled out, washingtontowashington.org, there's a video that kind of tells more about the story. And you see all these pictures from every year's trip, and it's just a blast.
Sounds like wonderful.
And the whole trip is supported by donations from individuals. You know, we do it cheap because, you know, we just get some 3 vans and – hop on the road, and individuals are so generous and have supported our trip every year.
Congratulations. Good work.
Thanks.
Deb, our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So about 15 years ago, I was on a trip to a cabin place in Big Sur, and they had these journals in the cabin units that people could write in. There were some amazingly touching, loving stories of people's visits. And there was one that, to this day, still cracks me up. It was from Arianna Huffington to her dearest Newtie. It was addressed to Newt Gingrich, and it was all about their wonderful weekend together and how different worlds they came from, but it was so amazingly spectacular. Life tells me there's no way that's possible, but it was a good read.
Somebody was imaginative, but I think that's really hilarious. I love the idea of imagining them spending a weekend in that cabin.
Yeah, where do I see Arianna again? But that brings up an interesting – thank you for the call. Mandy writes, I have a question. Has anyone ever contacted you after reading your magazine and say, I read my note, I lost it, and I'd like it back?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's happened a few times that someone has said, hey, that's mine. They saw in Found Magazine, in one of the Found books, or on the Found Magazine website, like they saw their note and they said, hey, that's mine. I didn't know if they'd be freaked out or pissed off. The few times it's happened, people have been really cool about it, either a bit honored or usually just mystified. Like, you know, why would anyone even care about these little details of my love life? I explain to them why it means so much to me, you know, that I can relate to it. I've written the same pitiful love note 100 times myself. This one girl, she just got in touch with me. She saw her find in issue 1 of Found Magazine at a friend's house. In the note, she's writing to ask advice from a friend about 2 different guys she's dating, Chad and Steve. She's trying to figure out what to do. So she emailed me, you know, that's mine. We started emailing back and forth. she ended up giving me a whole update. She's like, now I'm back with Chad, but Steve's coming up this weekend. I still don't know what's going to happen. I thought in a future issue we could do like a Where Are They Now section.
Well, here's another caller, and it's Leslie. Good morning.
Oh, I'm cracking up. I just think this show is fabulous. We bought a place in Bolinas, which used to be a school for wayward boys, and the property has been barren for a number of years. And we dig a lot in it. We're setting up plots, and every time almost that we put the shovel in the ground, we find a relic from this school. And it's quite remarkable. I've actually started a little museum. They did a lot of pottery. So I found a monkey's head, which is the size of a golf ball. I found Yoda. We found an alligator. And the most remarkable piece is we keep finding these long green pieces. They're about 4 inches long. We must have 8 pieces. And we think it's either a dragon tail or a snake. We can't get to the head. But we keep finding these pieces all over the yard. It's really fascinating.
And can you just talk about that sort of excitement that you get when you discover each item? I mean, I think that's the magic of it, that thrill.
You know, it is so interesting that you're identifying that because that is what happens. You're digging along and, you know, it's just dirt. It's not even good quality dirt. Mm-hmm. And then you go, I've found a perfectly... A little boy made of ceramic that's about 2.5 inches high.
Yeah.
And it's complete. And I kind of, this delight comes over me. I'm also involved in the museum world. So,
yeah.
You know, this kind of history that keeps coming out of the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, and when you find notes and letters, you know, that, you know, there's a thrill of glimpsing someone, you know, someone who you might recognize parts of yourself in. You know, there's that flicker of recognition, and you feel like, sometimes in life, you know, you're dealing with something that's really difficult.
Well, John writes, I appreciate these found notes, but why? Is there a value or lesson here? Now, you're suggesting that. Maybe an anthropological record for research.
That too. But for me, it's like, you know, you can sometimes when you're struggling with something, it's easy to imagine that, you know, nobody else could possibly understand what I'm going through right now. But then to rediscover a found note and to see that a stranger is experiencing the same kinds of things as you are, it's really a powerful feeling, and it's profound. You know, makes you feel more connected to everybody. Maybe because you don't know who wrote it. You know, it could be that person sitting across from you on the bus or at the cafe.
Also, a lot of clever notes. Somebody showed me a note that somebody put on a windshield of, I guess it flew off, and they found the note. And it was like, you know, you're crossing over the parking space and then going into insults about the person's driving ability. But, you know, that can be very clever stuff, too. Let me go to another caller. Chris joins us. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I love the show.
Thank you.
So I was at a used bookstore, and I bought a book that I'd been looking at for a while. So I got home, and I looked through the book, and there were songs in there, loose sheets of paper with songs written on them, really nice songs. And a photograph of the artist who wrote it. And I tried to find him. I spent a good week looking him up, trying to contact him. And I found him, but I managed to contact his family. Turns out he had passed. And I'd given them all the songs back. And it was just amazing how it looked, how the look on their faces when I brought them back their songs.
Wow. That is an incredible story. You know, I'd love
A good Samaritan is what you are.
Yeah, and you know, that's the kind of story we'd love to share with people in Found Magazine. If you'd be willing to email us, if you go to the Found Magazine website, it's just foundmagazine.com, our contact information's there. I'd love for you to share that story with me, and that'd be something we'd like to put into the magazine and hear more details about.
And Chris, congratulations for acting like a good guy. I mean, you get kudos from me on that. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's also, I remember a friend of mine had an old book, and he found a note from Heinrich Himmler. Those kinds of things, they don't want to send to you. You want to sell them.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But we get, you know, my day is made every time we get some great found note. In fact, people can bring them to me tonight, you know, at that event we're having. At the JCC.
Well, speaking of that event, I wish you have been. Here's Allison, who writes in an email, I work at the Jewish Community Library, and we put a little exhibition together of found objects from books returned to the library and things found in the library. And here's one example. The note is in pencil and in a child's handwriting. Dear Eleanor, I want to make a secret meeting, M-E-A-T. I am going to contact Jupi and Char. Do you think the new boy will be nice? I do not know. Ms. Jane is way too strict, S-T-R-I-C-K-E-D. Even I think she is. I hope I see you at Nahida's party. I think it's going to be very fun. The secret meeting, M-E-A-T, will be, well, I don't know, but we will have a secret meeting soon. Love, Savvy.
Well, we had Chris call in with a find from a used book and, finds from libraries. I think, people that work at used record stores, they find stuff that people left in records. So you can find this stuff. It doesn't have to be blowing down the street. It could be tucked in an old book.
Well, you'll like this one. Kristen sends an email and says, this is not a story of a found personal note, but it's still a remarkable story to me. In 2010, my husband and I were in New York City visiting from California. On the day of our return to California, we were on our way to the subway from our bed and breakfast in the East Village. I was dragging my luggage along the sidewalk, and my slip-on shoe fell off. I struggled to put it back on and then made my way to the subway and then the airport. When I arrived at the airport and removed my shoe to clear TSA security, a small ticket to an L.A. Dodgers game played in Los Angeles in 1962 fell out of my shoe.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Vicky writes, my father found a cork on the ground on which was written, to hell with all of yous. Y-O-U-S. Michael writes, found inside a used copy of This is San Francisco by Robert O'Brien that I bought at Fort Mason, an affectionate response to a fan letter dated 1995. The letter is addressed to Ms. Elva Jovicic, 1800 Pacific Street. O'Brien is writing from Hawaii. If anyone knows Elva or the Jovicic family, I would like to return this letter to them for their records. Nice. And on our webpage, the listener says, do you have a system for organizing all this stuff? Can you just type San Francisco into a search box and get all this stuff that you bought today or that you brought today, or you just rely on memory?
I rely on memory because I'm familiar with the stack of my favorite finds. But actually, if you go on the Found Magazine website, there is a search box, and you can put in San Francisco, and it'll bring up all San Francisco finds.
Well, here's some criticism. Thames writes, very difficult listening to this guy. So many people today talk fast and don't say anything of substance, and I find Davey to be completely uninteresting. I have no interest in his stories. Certainly KQED can do better than this.
Well, there's always haters. I learned that in life, Michael, and I just try to let it wash off my shoulders.
No, there are always people who just don't like your style.
Everyone,
if you're a public figure, you're going to get that.
Everyone has their own
trust
taste.
Me, you're going to get a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. You have haters?
Of course I do. I have it. In fact, Jimmy Kimmel, I want to see this. Jimmy Kimmel had a thing just the other night. I only heard a part of it. I hope it may be on YouTube, where they had celebrities reading tweets that were said about them.
Oh.
And they were, incredibly negative things
about
them. You can imagine. Very funny, though. Let me get some more callers on here. And Brent, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I'm not a hater.
Awesome.
I have an interesting story. It's not about a note, but I was had moved from Memphis to San Francisco many years ago, and I was walking down Hay Street, and I found a wallet on the street, which is not that interesting of itself, but it happened to belong to a really good friend of mine who lived in Memphis.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible coincidence that I...
Sometimes
talk to this day.
That's really insane. Yeah, there's sometimes there's just such serendipity. Like sometimes you might be turning some question around in your mind, and then you find a note that really seems to speak to that question.
Right.
My friend Alex, she lives in Berkeley. She said that she finds fortune cookie fortunes all the time, and I don't think I've ever found one not inside my cookie. I don't think I've found one on the street. She says she finds them, and they always kind of speak to some question she's dealing with.
So you know the great Alan King joke about
what's that one?
Opening a fortune cookie and it says, help, I'm a prisoner in a fortune cookie factory?
Exactly. It's cool. It's awesome that you found your friend's wallet. He must have been kind of like mind-blown when you sent that back to him.
We were both incredibly just couldn't believe it. And
that's awesome.
I was able to get it back to him, and everything was great.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sure you kept the cash inside.
another caller, and that's Lanner. Good morning.
Good morning. Great show. Love this. Life's a treasure hunt, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I one of my passions is tracking, and I got to thinking about, why is life a treasure hunt? Why is this stuff interesting to us? Probably because the hunting, gathering, hardwiring of us, always looking for disturbances or something new in the environment. But anyway, great cure for depression, all this activity. Quick story. I had garage sale about 15 years ago, and a guy came. He was a contractor, and we got chatting about stuff. It was a garage sale, right? So he tells me about this dumpster diving he did as a contractor, of course. neighbor across the street was cleaning house. He was in his 80s. His wife had passed. His kids were off to college and all this. So he finds these coin collection books filled with silver and the whole thing that the guy just tossed. And he went back to the door and he said, hey, you know, here's the stuff. You at least give them to your grandchildren or whoever. The next couple days pass, and the neighbor's still cleaning house. The contractor goes back into the dumpster, and he finds his book. It's in perfect shape. Jacket's great. Opens it up. Letter falls out. He looks at the letter. Then he looks in the book, and it's the first edition book of poetry by Robert Frost, signed by the author to the person who Robert Frost had also written this letter to.
Wow.
He opens the letter up. He reads it. It is an answer to a question of this woman who later in life wrote to Robert Frost asking him about some details of a neighbor a neighbor who had hosted them many times after school when they were growing up next door to each other in, I think it was Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, I wonder if it was a neighbor that inspired the poem about building fences.
Yeah, right.
With neighbors.
Right. So,
it's an incredible find. I mean, the more you look for stuff, my brother Peter, who's a great finder, he says you take one step toward found stuff, it'll take two steps toward you. And it really is, you know, the more you start looking for the stuff, actually the more stuff you start seeing. And all of a sudden, it's kind of everywhere. And that's why I
your
love...
Your brothers are involved in your enterprise?
Yeah. Peter's been working on found and traveling with me for the last 10 years. And my brother Mike has also helped out when he's in...
It's a family operation.
Yeah. And all the found stuff gets sent to my folks' house. The address on the website is my parents' house in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And when Shelley said, I think someone wrote in earlier and said how much the looking for found stuff had kind of changed the way they look at litter and the way they look at the world. Mm-hmm. I think that's really awesome. For me, it brings me out of my own head, and it makes me almost just gaze at the people's faces across from me on the bus. You know, just kind of, it's easy to get caught up in your own head, but when you start looking for this found stuff, it really can change your experience with the world.
Well, here's Keith, who writes, when settling the estate after both my parents passed away and clearing out the house, we came across old letters and diaries, and we couldn't help but read, if only to determine what they were and what to do with them. It revealed another side to the difficulties we had as they recorded their feelings and writings. I also heard accounts of life on the home front and the community during World War II and D-Day, who they went to church with that day, all who were there. Cheryl tweets, question for Davey, is the increasingly digital world we live in reducing the amount of found handwritten correspondence?
Great question. Yes, but as technology evolves, the ways that you can find stuff also evolves. For example, people will print out an email and lose that. You know, you get emails now sometimes sent to the wrong email address and forwarded on to us. A woman in Baltimore told me she bought a phone for her father, a cell phone. He's 80 years old. And as soon as they powered it on, a stream of text messages started pouring through from the ex-girlfriend of whoever had previously had the same phone number. And so she listed out all these crazy texts to me, and like that almost told its own story. So there's just new ways to find stuff. And I think too, when people are expressing something really personal, whether if it's ending a marriage after 20 years or writing to a brother who's going through a illness, whatever it is, you know, that's when people would put pen to paper.
Speaking about marriages, a listener writes, a friend and I went to a found event at Pegasus Bookstore in Berkeley. Turned out we had the date wrong, but we found each other. Now we're married.
That's great. Yeah, that is fantastic. And people have met. There's many couples around the country who are married now who have met at these found events. So they're not just we're not just finding notes. I'm kind of a matchmaker at heart. So come tonight, Found Magazine show, 8 p.m., JCC. You'll meet your soulmate.
And you are an inveterate self-plugger, by the way.
Well, it, you know what it is? I love sharing this stuff with people. And I find that sometimes someone might tune in for like 10 minutes of the show. And I want them to know about the event because I'm really proud of the events. People have a great time. And I just think it's going to be a special night. So I want people to join us.
Let me bring some more callers on. Nicholas, good morning.
Hi, how's it going? Colin, I was recently out this was 2 years ago, out of Burning Man. And for those that have been out there, there's the Deep Playa, which is out on the desert. And part of what you do out there is you look for MOOP, which is matter out of place. So basically, you know, if you see trash, you pick it up, and it helps just leave a clean environment afterwards. But out in the middle of the night in the desert, riding along on my bike, and I see a little glint and on the ground. So I stop my bike and I get off, and it is a diamond ring in the middle of the deep playa. And I look around for a little bit more, and I found a necklace that was related to a camp across the playa, one of the theme camps. So the next morning, I went over to the camp and asked if anyone had, you know, perhaps lost a ring. Mm. And they said, yeah, my friend did. He's been torn up. Let me go get him. So I asked him to describe it, and there was the ring. And it turned out he had lost his sister just recently in a car accident. Whoa. And it was her ring. And
wow.
Part of going out to Burning Man is this transition.
Wow.
And when you lose someone and going to the temple and really going through a process of when you lose someone, and it was able to get him that ring back, was truly, truly a special experience.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, that is. And another good guy, another good Samaritan. Nicholas, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people returning things and looking for the rightful owner, it's heartening to hear.
Email me that story, please. I'd love to share that with people as well.
A listener named Sadie writes, this is lovely. I think it reminds us that everyone's story has value. That's sort of the
Absolutely.
Counterpoint of the critical one we heard a while back. Let's hear from some more of our listeners by phone. Harbin, hi.
Hi. When I was 12 years old, I spent the summer babysitting to be able to afford to go on a class trip to France and Switzerland with my eighth grade class. And while in Switzerland, at the base of a waterfall in between a pile of rocks, I found a note that in English read, I love you so deeply, so purely, so truly, you raise me to bliss. You are exactly what happens when beautiful colors collide. And I took it home and I've held on to it, and it's sitting in a photo album with other mementos from the trip, and it always stuck out to me.
That's a magical one. That's right. I found in a waterfall, too. That's awesome.
It's a good one. Harbin, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you. And here's Keith, who writes, after my mother died, I had the task of cleaning out her home. It was such a sorrowful task. What helped to lift the grief was the finding of notes that she left for me, tucked into the most unlikely places. All of them were personal and full of humor. I both laughed and cried. She managed to talk to me from the other side. It was a great gift.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're getting some...
Yeah, this is incredible stories. Your listeners are... You have a great listenership, Michael.
Yeah, I'm spoiled that way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's Bob, who writes, the camping platforms in Everglades, which are built to allow campers safety from wildlife overnight, have logbooks. Scrawled across one page was the note, a 12-foot alligator can make it on top of this platform. That reminds me of some, you know, one of those Carl Hyacinth stories or something. GS is our next caller. Hi, GS.
Thank you. I've got to find... from the future, if you will, one day I was playing with my kids near the Plunge. I think it's in West Richmond. Anyway, it's a big swimming place, very old, very popular. And we were just horsing around in the park on the other side of that. And a tiny bit of background, I'm a geek, and once I surprised each kid with a 2-inch diameter solid steel ball bearing, big industrial, you know, bearing. And they were so heavy. They weighed about a pound, but they fit in your hand. Anyway, we were in this park, and I just thought it would be fun to show them how high that you could throw them up, because they would try to throw them up, and they could get them like 10 feet. Anyway, I threw them up about 60 feet, and each of them came down, and then we were going to go get them. But they hit the wet grass so hard that they disappeared into the ground.
Huh.
We never could find them, and they're there. For somebody to find someday, either with a metal detector or a bulldozer, those ball bearings cannot be misunderstood as anything. But
you got a time capsule.
Huh?
I say you got a time capsule.
A find from the future.
Exactly. And it
That's
was
awesome.
A complete accident. It was totally inadvertent.
You know, thank you for that.
I have a question, Michael. This is a found item that I've always wondered about. Sometimes I just can't, you know, sometimes they give you such deep insight into someone else's life. Sometimes you can't make heads or tails of it. This came from San Francisco. It was found on the street. And I'll show you. It just says, more buns, more cups, less lies. and if somebody can explain that to me tonight.
Somebody's collaborating on a little party, and they're saying this is what you should bring, but you've also been prevaricating and lying to me. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
There's some story behind it. I'm just trying to piece it together.
There's always a story. These are like Rorschachs, you know. These are like ink blots.
Yeah.
You can often invent your own story. By the way, you working with Steve Buscemi on a film now?
Yeah, that's right. There's a documentary called Medora that I directed with my friend Andrew Cohn, and it's opening in theaters around the country in November. In fact, it's going to be at the Roxy Theater November 18th and at the New Parkway Theater over in Oakland same week. It's about a small town in rural Indiana, Medora, Indiana, and their high school basketball team that never wins. And so we went there for years and followed this team. And it's really about, you know, these small towns when the factory shut down and, you know, sometimes drugs move in, it gets really pretty grim. But the community raises up and they're trying to keep things going, trying to keep their school open. And it's a really moving, powerful story.
And Indiana basketball is.
Oh, yeah. It's huge there.
It's like football in Texas.
Exactly. It's gigantic. And these kids, you'll fall in love with these kids. So it's called Medora. I'm bringing a couple of the kids from the film to San Francisco on November 18th.
There's a movie with Dennis Hopper about basketball.
Hoosiers. Well, this is a real-life modern-day Hoosiers. Uh-huh. I've also heard people describe it as Hoop Dreams meets Gummo. But Steve Buscemi and Stanley Tucci are our executive producers. They're awesome guys. They've helped us with, you know, watching cuts as we were, you know, doing rough drafts and giving us feedback. And they're just such awesome guys. And so they've been really supportive of the film all along, too. So we can't wait to share it with people. There's a website, medorafilm.com. And on that website, we'll list soon all of the upcoming screenings. The movie comes out around the country November 12th.
And just in case you hadn't heard, Davey Rothbard will be at the Jewish Community Center this evening at 8 p.m. in San Francisco, and good to have you with us.
It's really good to see you, Michael. This is fun.
And you can also continue this discussion by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or to our Facebook page. People want to let other people know what they've found. And, of course, Davey, just give out your website again because they can send them all to you, too.
Sure, foundmagazine.com. And then for the book, it's myheartisanidiotbook.com.
And Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer this morning is Rob Spate. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And our interns, Keelan Cronin, Nick Zabrowski, Victor Veje, Angela Johnston, and Aaron Newport. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.